So sometimes I let you look under the hood, so to speak, to see how I think. And it's a challenge each year when you come to a Moedim, when you come to a Moed, because we're in our 11th year. And you figure it's like, okay, how much can you say about the same thing without repeating yourself over and over? So I don't want to say each year has been a challenge, but it's something that is, it sort of meanders in my mind. It's like, okay, Shavuot's coming up. What am I going to talk about this year that I haven't already talked about in years past? So a couple weeks ago, I was preparing for another sermon, and I was reading something, and it said, And it's like, well, the gospel began with John the Baptist. Okay. Then there's a teaching that I've witnessed over the years, was privy to at one point, as a young believer, not young in my age, but young in my time as a believer, that Pentecost is when the church began. I mean, you've heard that teaching before. Okay. So we're going to reveal the origin of what Shavuot produced. So on this day, we have arrived at the door we have so long awaited. We have counted seven Shabbat, that is 49 days, thus arriving at the doorstep of the 50th day as is revealed by Adonai. And he reveals it to Moses. We read of the instructions given to the entire nation, the entire community of Israel in Leviticus 23:15. From the day after the day of rest, that is from the day you bring the sheath for waving, you are to count seven full weeks. Until the day after the seventh week, you are to count 50 days. And then you are to present a new grain offering to Adonai. You must bring bread. You must bring bread. You must bring bread from your homes for waving. This is actually from a home, but call it a congregational aspect. Two loaves made with 1 gallon of fine flour, baked with leaven, as first fruits for Adonai, along with the bread, present seven lambs without defect, 1 year old, one young bull, two rams. These will be a burnt offering for Adonai, with their grain and drink offerings, an offering made by fire as a fragrant aroma to Adonai. Offer one male goat as a sin offering, and two male lambs, 1 year old, as a sacrifice of peace offerings. The Kohen will wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before Adonai with two lambs. These will be holy for Adonai for the Kohen. On the same day, you are to call a holy convocation. Do not do any ordinary work. This is a permanent regulation through all your generations, no matter where you live. When you harvest the ripe crops produced in your land, don't harvest all the way to the corners of your field, and don't gather the ears of the grain left by the harvesters. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am Adonai your God. So we read of the responsibility given to the Kohen to officiate the conclusion of the counting of the Omer, the seven Shabbats, that is 49 days, with the 50th day being a call to the entire nation to come together on this appointed time. We read of the promise made by Yeshua after his resurrection, that occurred during the Passover season, for which they were in the midst of counting the Omer, For Yeshua had offered the following instruction whilst he was teaching them. Yeshua said to them, "This is what I meant when I was still with you and told you that everything written about me in the Torah of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh, telling them, "Here's what it says. The Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And in his name, repentance leading to forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to people from all nations, starting in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses. Now I am sending forth upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been equipped with the power from above. Stay here. Wait here for the promise so that you will be fully equipped." So there was a promise that existed in order to enable them. Yes, Yeshua was an enabler. Yeshua's Talmidim to be his witnesses, that is eyewitnesses, who experienced firsthand the power of Adonai, just as their forefathers experienced at the time of the Passover and thus the Exodus from Egypt. Yet we are taught that this message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, was the beginning of the gospel and the beginning of the church. There is scripture that aligns with such a teaching, but does it offer the full story? Acts 1:21 and 22. "Therefore, one of the men who have been with us continuously throughout the time of the Lord Yeshua traveled around among us from the time of Yochanan, was immersing people until the day of Yeshua was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to this resurrection." So this implies that this whole gospel message occurred between John and Yeshua. Then we have Mark 1 that begins the beginning of the good news of Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of God. The beginning. Yet, where does the beginning start? Because Mark says this, or writes this, "It is written in the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah." So it doesn't start with John the Baptist. He's going back. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare the way before you. The voice of someone crying out, 'In the desert, prepare the way for Adonai, make straight the paths for him.'" So this message of preparing the gospel is speaking of John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser, who will prepare the way. Just didn't start a snap of a finger. We are also taught that this is the beginning of the church. When the following occurs, the festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest upon each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Luke, the inspired author of the Acts of the Apostles, that is the actions of those who were called and sent out, as I shared with you this past Tuesday evening, set the stage for the reader in conveying that Shavuot had arrived. In other words, it's time. That is, the counting of seven Shabbat plus a day, that is 50, has reached its maturity. a time that concludes with the assembly, the ecclesia in Greek, occurring whereby the Kohen HaGadol of the new covenant, having been ratified in his own blood, has brought forth the promise conveyed through Yochanan. What did Yochanan say? In John 1:29, the next day Yochanan saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, "Look, God's Lamb, the one who is taking away the sin of the world. This is the man I was talking about when I said, 'After me is coming someone who has come to rank above me because he existed before me. I myself did not know who he was. But the reason I came immersing with water was so that he might be made known to Israel.'" So where did Yochanan get his playbook? He's making known to the nation who Yeshua is or will be when he's revealed. Then Yochanan gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I myself did not know who he was, but the one who sent me to immerse in water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh.' And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." It is really the beginning. We read of Adonai establishing this nation, calling out this people as his own to be that witness. We read in Isaiah chapter 42, "Here is my servant whom I support, my chosen one in whom I take pleasure. I have put my Spirit on him. He will bring justice to the goyim. He will not cry or shout. No one will hear his voice in the streets. He will not snap off a broken reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. He will bring forth justice according to truth. He will not weaken or be crushed until he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his Torah. Thus says God, Adonai, who created the heavens and spread them out, who stretched out the earth and all that grows from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk on it. I, Adonai, called you righteously. I took hold of you by the hand. I shaped you and made you a covenant for the people to be a light to the nations, so that you can open blind eyes, free the prisoners from confinement, those living in darkness from the dungeon. I am Adonai, and that is my name. I yield my glory to no one else, nor my praise to any idols. See how the former predictions come true. And now new things do I declare. Before they sprout, I tell you about them." So in one breath it's talking about an individual, yet another breath it's talking about a nation. Can both be true? Yes. "For Adonai would establish through his servant the power that would cause his justice be experienced by the nations." Then we read further in Isaiah 49. "Coastlands, listen to me. Listen, you peoples far away. Adonai called me from the womb. Before I was born, he had spoken my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword while hiding me in the shadow of his hand. He has made me like a sharpened arrow while concealing me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, through whom I will show my glory.' But I said, 'I have toiled in vain, spent my strength for nothing, futility. Yet my cause is with Adonai, my reward is with my God. So now Adonai says, he formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Yaakov back to him, to have Israel gathered to him, so that I will be honored in the sight of Adonai my God, having become my strength. He said, it is not enough that you are merely my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and restore the offspring of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so my salvation can spread to the ends of the earth. The message of the promise does not stop with a single goy, a single nation, but extends to the nations. For we read in Isaiah 53, 11 and 12, after this ordeal, he will see satisfaction. By his knowing pain and sacrifice, my righteous servant makes many righteous. It is for their sins that he suffers. Therefore, I will assign him a share with the great. He will divide the spoil with the mighty. For having exposed himself to death and being counted among the sinners, while actually bearing the sin of many and interceding for the offenders. Now, this sounds like an individual because the nation has never been able to redeem on its own transgressions. For Adonai would establish one from the nation. He established through his own name. That is authority to Avraham, that he would become a great nation. Or we read in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And through this nation would reveal his power to redeem his people. First, through the bondage of slavery at the hands of a nation. We read in Exodus 6, 6 and 7. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I, Adonai, will free you from the forced labor of the Egyptians, rescue you from your oppression, and redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am Adonai, your God, who freed you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. And then from the slave master of sin. John 1:29, the next day, Yochanan saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, look, God's Lamb, the one who is taking away the sin of the world. Just as this concept of taking away one's sins, not to mention an entire nation, is seen on Yom Kippur. For we read in Leviticus 16, 21 and 22. Adonai is to lay both his hands, meaning the Kohen, on the head of the live goat, and confess over it all the transgressions, crimes, and sins of the people of Israel. He is to put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the desert with a man appointed for the purpose. The goat will bear all transgressions away to some isolated place, and he is to let the goat go in the desert. Now this power is being extended by Adonai to the world through his Lamb, God's Lamb. For this plan was not known by Adonai's creation, yet it existed long before this moment in time when Adonai would honor his promise and thus pour out his Ruach upon all humanity. For Revelation 13:8 says, everyone living on earth will worship it. What is the it? The adversary, the beast. Except those whose names are written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb, slaughtered before the world was founded. So God's plan did not start on Shavuot on a day about 2,000 years ago. But he formulated his plan even before he breathed life into Adam. The power of Adonai that is demonstrated through his Ruach. The Ruach HaKodesh is brought forth to us on this Moed, on this appointed time. If one concludes this to be the beginning of the church, then one must also conclude it was a Jewish congregation. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem religious Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, "How is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from the Galilee? How is it that we hear them speaking in our native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome." Now some use these verses to say, well, these are Gentiles coming to Jerusalem. Not at all. Go back to verse 5. Jews from every nation under heaven. Jews by birth and proselytes. Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things God has done? Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, "What can this mean? What does this mean? This is not something new, yet something promised for which you are witnessing the fulfillment of a promise made so long ago. Consider the words of the prophet Joel. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of Adonai." So in a nutshell, what's happening here? God's preparing for Yeshua's return. He's preparing the people, giving them his spirit, enlarging the kingdom, preparing for the day that Yeshua will appear, when the sun will turn dark, the moon into blood, and the coming and great and the terrible day, the day of judgment, the day of Yeshua's return. Because verse 5 concludes, "At that time, whoever calls in the name of Adonai will be saved. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, as Adonai has promised. Among the survivors will be those whom Adonai has called." And thus this very message of redemption is a very Jewish message, entrusted by the nation, established by Adonai through Avraham, that would be brought forth by his servant, the nation for which the epitome of the nation, the suffering servant, would bear the load for the purpose of once again redeeming the nation, this time from their transgressions once and for all, and thus offer this free gift to the nations, plural, as well. For Shaul conveys in Romans 3, "By God's grace, without earning it, all are granted the status of being considered righteous before him through the act redeeming us from our enslavement to sin was accomplished by Messiah Yeshua. God put Yeshua forward as the kaparah for sin through his faithfulness in respect to his bloody sacrificial death. This vindicated God's righteousness because in his forbearance he had passed over the sins people had committed in the past. And it vindicates his righteousness in the present age by showing that he is righteous himself and is also the one who makes people righteous on the ground of Yeshua's faithfulness. That on this day of Shavuot, tomorrow, it is not the beginning of something, but the empowerment of Adonai's redemption. For this message was entrusted to the Jewish nation and Yeshua of the tribe of Judah. For Yeshua conveys, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So when we look at Isaiah 42 and 49, we're talking about going to the nations. We're talking about Yeshua coming to the Jewish people, but his disciples going to the nation. The gospel going from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. And thus, while revealing as well in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life on behalf of the sheep. Also, I have other sheep, which are not from this pen. I need to bring them, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. One flock comprising Jewish sheep, Gentile sheep, one shepherd, who is shepherd over all. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down of my own free will. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This is what my Father commanded me to do. He has his power. None other than the power that he's given each of us. Yet what is conveyed? The beginning of the gospel starts with Yochanan the Immerser. And the beginning of the church begins on Shavuot with the Ruach HaKodesh being poured out on individuals and would later be experienced by the nations. Yet we read in Acts chapter 10, here's the message that he sent to the sons of Israel, announcing peace through Yeshua, the Messiah, who is Lord of everything. You know what has been going on throughout Judea, starting from the Galilee, after the immersion of Yochanan that proclaimed how God appointed Yeshua from Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and with power, how Yeshua went about doing good and healing all the people oppressed by the adversary because God was with him. And thus Adonai responds, as he did some years after Shavuot. In Acts chapter 10, we read that Kepha was still saying these things when the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all who were hearing the message. All the believers from the circumcision faction who had accompanied Kepha were amazed that the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh was also being poured out on the goyim, on the nations. There was a gap between Shavuot and when Kepha went to Cornelius. Some say it was at least 10 years. So the power of the Ruach HaKodesh was not experienced by the nations until years later, from that initial time. Is anyone prepared to prohibit these people from being immersed in water? After all, they have received the Ruach HaKodesh just as we did. and he ordered that they be immersed in the name of Yeshua. Then they asked Kepha to stay with them for a few days. Why'd he stay? Have I got stories to tell you? Thus it was through Shavuot that Adonai would bring forth his promise, established long before by a nation called according to his name, that would facilitate, introduce the world to the kingdom of Adonai, by which forgiveness of sin through the authority of Yeshua is the passport to entry. You have to have his passport. You have to have his stamp. It's not papers you're presenting, but it's the heart that he's going to look at. Show me your heart. If you want entrance into the kingdom, you have to have this passport. It's not going to be like some stores requiring you to prove that you've been vaccinated. No, this is a different vaccination. This is an inoculation. There's a global pandemic long before COVID. And there's only one remedy, as I talked about earlier. There's only one cure. Even though we may die, we will still live, it says. So on the Shavuot, we're given the ways of Adonai. And one of those ways is the Moedim. Shavuot is part of this promise. To the point where, and I can say this because I was part of it for a while, I started in the Pentecostal church. The Feast of Pentecost as it was known. Later I would come to scratch my head and wonder. They take on the very name of Shavuot, Feast of Pentecost. Yet they really don't recognize it. They really don't honor it. It's like, if this is your birthday, this is your day. Oh, but that's been done away with. We don't have to do that anymore. The point that I'm getting at, there's actually multiple points, but I'll try to keep it brief. Understand what God's word says. Weigh it against that which you're being taught. And reconcile the differences. Because I can tell you, every one of you in this room, based on the question you've been sending me, based on my own experience, there are things to be reconciled. Because everything doesn't fit together. There are narratives, there's theology that you have to weigh against the Word of God. Jerry talked about, well, we've been given eyes to see, ears to hear. But are we truly using them in such a way that we have been equipped for? So I want you to keep this in mind in Shavuot as we have been empowered. Because what did Yeshua convey on this time before Shavuot, during the counting of the Omer? He opened their minds to understanding the Tanakh. The Ruach HaKodesh that we have is that very power. So don't let anyone deceive you. Remain true. Understand. Because what does it say about understanding? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So keep these things in mind. So everybody please rise.